This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
312-644-6767. That is the phone number that I need you to call. I want to talk about this game with you, man. I got some people on hold right now. Definitely going to be doing that in just a second. If you want a snapshot of what this Bears game was like, just go watch the Tory Taylor punt after the safety. Tyler, you look like you know what I'm talking about. That right there in itself was the Bears game. I saw that thing. I said, what the hell just happened? I said, no, literally, I was like, what the hell just happened? You see everybody pointing in the sky, calling for a fair catch.
I was like, did that go like 15 yards?
I'm thinking Tory Taylor's about to boot this thing. I was like, oh, if you use your fourth round draft pick on a Tory Taylor, which, by the way, I'm sure you wish you used it on an offensive lineman. I tell people that all the time. They're like, dude, why do you hate the Tory Taylor? I don't hate it. I'm just saying, a fourth round guard would look real good right now.
Karan Amagaji was not enough.
Everyone knew that. But, hey, but they played golf together.
Oh,
before
yeah.
The draft, they manifested it, remember?
Or, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good kid. From local kid. And I'm here for it. And I'm here for Karan Amagaji. I'm here for it. I'm sure he'll be a great swing guard in the future. I'm sure
he's a guy you really like to like.
Be a great replacement. Or of tackle, right? He was playing left tackle the other day. Great replacement for Nate Davis once they move him into the inside. Because he'll be an interior lineman before it's all said and done.
We have family dinner, 5:30 to 6:30.
Thank God. Bears 3 for 14 on third downs yesterday. A total of 241 yards. 3 yards per rush. 3 yards per rush. It's heartbreaking. 6 penalties, 5 in the first, 20 minutes. That hurt as well. All that before the first half was just a lot went on. But what was the most frustrating part for you? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Mark out in South Bend. Mark, some people would say the most frustrating part about yesterday wasn't the loss, but it was actually the coaching.
Good morning, Mr. Ramirez. How you doing? That is correct. The combination of Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus, and always starting a game with no intensity. I believe now they're 32nd in first quarter scoring. And I don't believe they scored any points on any road games to start. And all you get, and what you mentioned, Gabe, is right about the whole play calling, the whole not using Komet right, not using the other things going on. The thing is, in the last minute and a half, why in the world would Caleb Williams be in that game when it was a lost cause way before? And I really don't understand that. He was looking, he was on the sidelines with a puzzled face. The CBS commentators made comments about it, leaving your number one franchise quarterback in a game with a minute 30 left. And I think he's come to realize that his career is over after the season ends. He's out. And that's what I got out of watching that game yesterday.
What do you think? Because I've talked to people and I've said, like I mentioned before, talked to Lou Kanellis on Saturday from Fox 32. And I said, hey, Lou, they say winning cures everything. And I said, if the Bears would have gone out and won this game, would that have made you feel differently about Coach Eberflus?
Yes, it would have. And even I commend him on not starting Mr. Stevenson for the first couple series or whatever, that eventually he did kind of address that issue. And to come with intensity and get a win there would be great. The Cardinals scored 3 touchdowns to the Bears' 3 field goals. And it was just going to be a no-chance winnable game once that occurred.
What's he missing, Mark? Mark, what's he missing? Coach Flus, right? We see that he is not as talented as the other top-tier coaches in the NFL. What is it to you that he's missing?
Well, of course, you mentioned, you know, you got to have a running game and an effective offensive line to put a combination of a running play-action pass where he's not going to be just breaking out of the pocket and scrambling for running for his life or whatever, even though he does a similar good job at doing it, at getting away at times. But 41 passes, and what did, was there even one or two play actions in all those 41 passes? You got to have an effective running game that they did during the winning streak, but it's dissipated in the last two games.
Three play actions throughout the game. The first one came at the start of the second quarter. It was frustrating. But again, it's hard for you to have an effective play action when you're not running the ball to begin with or making it even some sort of threat. Yeah, I feel like, you know, as you mentioned, leaving him out there with the last 2 minutes, especially with the offensive line the way that it's banged up, right? I mean, it's not like you're putting him out there. I understand if your offensive line was healthy, you felt good, or you were protecting him the whole game, and maybe you said to yourself, you know what, let's get him some two-minute action and see if he can put a touchdown on the board or see how he can operate. That I understand. But when he's been running for his life all game long, right, that's the part that you want to highlight. The offensive line didn't have their best game, obviously, because you were just putting guys in there. You know, Larry Borum coming off the IR, things like that. So it's like at the very tail end of the game, they've been putting a ton of pressure on him. He's not going to get anything from that. And I think that's the part that was the most frustrating. Mark, I appreciate the phone call. And make sure next week, man, you get an opportunity to call back in because I'll be here for you as well. Bears lose to the Arizona Cardinals, 29-9. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I got you all the way till 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes gets on the ones and twos. Mully and Haw got you from 5:30 to 10. Olin Kreutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9, then Bernstein and Harris, they're from 10 to 2. They got Anthony Heron and Dan Weider at 11 to 12. Then Kurt Warner, Mark Grody, and Jalen Johnson join Spiegel and Holmes at 3, 4, and 5, respectively, right here on 670 The Score. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. I said it a lot. It seems as though the loss wasn't even the most frustrating thing from yesterday. The loss hurt, but it wasn't the most frustrating thing. What was that for you? Let's go back out to the lines. Let's go to Joe out in Cicero. Joe, what was the most frustrating thing for you from this game? Or was it the loss itself?
I'm 59 years old. The Bears' record in the last 50 years is 288 and 299. I'm a frustrated Bears fan. George Halas is rolling in his grave. When will the McCaskies get it right, or will they ever?
What does getting it right mean, Joe? Because I'm a guy who likes to talk about solutions, not problems. In your mind, we see what the problem is. But what's the solution?
The solution is just getting it right, getting the right combination of coaches and front office and general manager, and nobody's on the same page. I mean, you know, they fired Lovey in the winning season, and it's been downhill ever since. And, you know, I'm 59 years old, and in my lifetime, the Bears, you could actually almost erase the 85 season, because in my lifetime, the Bears have had a losing record.
Joe, let me ask you.
288
and 299. I heard you. Yeah, gotcha. I got that. Got that written down right
here.
That's tough.
50-year record. I looked it up. I did my homework.
Some good math there. Talk to me about this, Joe. Let me ask you a question. What are the positives that you see from the Bears right now in the present? Obviously, there's things that they have to change that can get them to the next level, but you're frustrated because you think that they still are a good team that should be better. But what are some positives, things that they can hang their hat on, a foundation for this team, so to speak?
Well, the young guys are hungry, and they just need the right leadership, and I don't see the coaches, you know, being accountable for themselves. And they're all in the hot seat. I mean, come on. They either can go 9-6, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Nine and eight.
Either go 6-3, on the stretch or 3-6. So if they don't go 6-3 in the stretch, I'd rather have them go 3-6 and flush the toilet once again.
All right. Thanks for the call, Joe. That's where we're at right now already in the Bears season. Bears, some Bears fans wanting the Bears to lose a little bit just so that it can ensure the firing of Coach Eberflus. I think it's tough. I mean, we talk about money all the time for coaches and maybe why they didn't bring in the Bears, some of the top tier guys, because it would have cost them too much money. The same thing holds true for why you wouldn't fire a guy, right? If you're not willing to pay a top tier coach $15 million, well, you're certainly not going to, or you don't want to let go of a coach like you and have to pay them while you're paying somebody else. It's the same thing. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because, again, when you go back to what your expectations were for the season, 5-3 at this point would have been okay with me. I probably still would have been cheering for a Flus. But the way that they've lost these four games to the Colts, you're talking about these last two to the Commanders and to the Cardinals. The Texans, I expected it. But those other three games, you feel like you should have at least snuck something out of there. And that's the part that's the most frustrating, because now you're saying you're not living up to my expectations. A tad bit above 500. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez, which you hear on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Ready to take your calls, because the game wasn't the most frustrating thing from yesterday. Losing the game, that is. There were other things that took place that were equally as frustrating. Let's go to Mary out in Niles. Mary, welcome to the show. Good to talk to you again. Who do you think deserves some of the blame?
Caleb Williams. I haven't heard your whole show, but I have not heard anybody really pointing a finger at him. He has overthrown balls, and whether people may believe this or not, and I don't have proof, but it's just a thought. He does seem to ignore Cole Kmet. Now, are they not friendly, or does he choose black receivers?
Okay, that was wild. No, I don't think Caleb Williams is like, let me see.
Did you watch the London game?
He's like, hey, let me see. I'm scrambling out of this pocket, and this defensive end is trying to get me. Cole Kmet's wide open. Nah, he's white. I'm not going to do that. That was wild. That was a wild one right there. I want to stick to the beginning of your call, which is that should there be some blame placed on Caleb Williams? Or should there be more attention put on him for what we would call inefficiency, right? 22 for 41 on the day for Caleb Williams. I would say not good enough. 3 for 14 on third down, certainly not good enough. Cole Kmet, 0 targets on the day, not good enough, right? So there's things that you can point to. But he's trying to get people the ball. Romadunze, 7 targets, 5 catches. Keenan Allen, 10 targets. Unfortunately, could only come down with 4 of them. DJ Moore, 9 targets, unfortunately, can only come down with 4 of them. So he's the attempts are there. I think the issue for me is when I look at the box score, a lot of times I look at the long passes, like what was the longest catch for each of these receivers that are out there? Keenan Allen, only 13 yards. DJ Moore, 16. DeAndre Swift, Roshan, Gerald Everett, 7, 5, 5, respectively. Ramadunze had that lofted one up. That got him a ton of yards, but look at Arizona. First of all, Kyler Murray only completed 13 passes. Trey McBride, longest, 15. Elijah Higgins, 23. Marvin Harrison Jr., 21. Amari DiMercato, 12. Trey Benson, I mean, that was after the catch, but 18. He only had 13 passes. Again, if I told you Kyler Murray had 13 completions on the day, you would tell me the Bears won and that the Bears defense did its job. If I told you Kyler Murray had 154 yards on the day, you would tell me the Bears won. If I told you Trey McBride was the leading receiver with 3 catches and 35 yards, you would tell me the Bears won. A lot of things went on in this game that led to this loss. And again, the most frustrating part isn't the loss itself. It's a lot of things that happen within the game. 312-644-6767. Taking your phone calls. What are you most frustrated about? Is it the loss? Or is there something else that happened during the game that has you more frustrated? Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Matthew on the west side. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Good to hear from you again.
Likewise, man. I'm out here. I see. Yeah. What had you most frustrated yesterday?
Mary's trying to get you canceled. We'll leave it at that.
I'm glad that we're both on the same page, though. But yeah. All right. So,
we didn't talk since last year, but, man, the first quarter, the offense, they need a jockey on the back of that horse or something. The third down's abysmal again. Abysmal. What were they, 2-10?
Three for 14. 3 for 14 on third downs.
3 for 14. Gee, Louise. I mean, come on, man. Waldron got us. I don't know if it's Waldron. I think the players out there playing for their own pride at this point. The defense couldn't stop the run. Connor was just, he was like a hot knife through butter for some reason. And I don't think that defense prides themselves on letting that happen to them. But at the same time, too, they couldn't stop it.
Yeah, it was tough, right? Yeah. I mean, Matthew, when you look at this game from the outside, right? If you go back to the beginning of the game and you were to say to yourself, okay, you got Larry Borum coming off of the IR, playing left tackle, the most important position on the offensive line. You got him there. You know, you saw Darnell Wright get hurt during the game for the right tackle position. So that's happening there. Then on the defense side, no Montez Sweat, no Jaquan Brisk. It's like, all these guys are missing. It's almost as if you go back to the beginning of the game, you probably should say to yourself, my expectations should be very low for this game because of all the injuries that the Bears had. Don't you think?
I think you're on the right page, my man. But at the same time, too, that goes into all of us for our everyday professional life. We have things that go our way, and we have things that don't go our way. So we have to scheme our day around.
That's a great point.
Making it a fruitional day. And they have to recognize that on their own level and scheme it better. Like you were saying earlier, scheme it better. If they blitz it and people are hurt, then you have to just go to Packers route and do the quick slant or do what you got to do to get it out of his hands instead of 5 to 7 step drops in it. Like just on third down, you just gonna run it. You just gonna do a halfback sweep to the outside and just try to get 4 yards instead of the 11 yards. You just give it up on the defense. They got to take a deep breath and go back out there.
Yeah, but, I think about the Green Bay Packers, and I say to myself, when Jordan Love goes down and Malik Willis gets under center, they don't go 5 wide. You see what I'm saying? They don't go 5 wide. They understand what the strengths of their team are. And during those games where Malik Willis was the quarterback, they ran Josh Jacobs to death. They said, man, you know what? Check it out. Josh Jacobs is our best player. We're running him. And what did they do? They went out and won all those games. Even when Jordan Love left in the middle of the game, like last week or the week before, they did the same thing. Josh Jacobs comes out and scores a touchdown because they just max protect. I mean, not max protect, but extra linemen, extra blockers out there. And the thing is, for the Bears, if you know your offensive line is like that, then you need to do something else. But I love the point that you made, Matthew. Thanks for the call, by the way. He said, we have jobs too. That's on hold, you that's listening right now, you that's on your way to work. We have jobs, right? And I tried to give some grace to the Bears saying, hey, you know, no Montez Sweat. Should have known what was going to happen today based off that kind of stuff. You have a depleted squad. But Matthew brings up a great point. If you go to work today and your boss is not there, your manager's not there, your coworker's not there, everybody doesn't get a pass. The customers don't care. You still got to come through and do your job. You know what you got to do? Pick up the slack. That's what you are asked to do. You, the regular person, me, the regular person. If somebody doesn't show up, I got to do their job. If Mully and Hall don't show up today and Dustin Rhodes can't make it, guess what? Gabe and Tyler Ferengal are doing the morning show at 670 to score. You want to know why? Because we have to step up in that situation. Yes, we're down a man. We got to make it the best possible. And if we're expected to do that, the Bears should be too. You got to plan it out different. This game could have gone differently. If you put a touchdown on the board after the fumble, you feel different about yourself. After they come down to score the tutty and it's 14-6, if you put a tutty on the board and made it 14-13, it would have felt different. You kick a field goal, you make it 14-9. If you would have just stopped them at the end of the first half and got the ball back, it could have felt different. Again, there are moments like that that are frustrating. More frustrating than the loss. Why are we dealing with this all the time? Why are we in the same spot? I was trying to explain it to my wife. I said, you know how frustrating this is? You think things are going to be different and it's the same thing? You get a Ryan Poles who makes a team, hires new people, bring in new people. He's over here talking about, I'm tired of people talking about the past of the Bears. We're not dealing with that anymore. And then after a game like yesterday, you feel like you're watching the same old Bears. Regardless of the quarterback, regardless of the GM, regardless of the head coach, it's frustrating. People in the building that can't find a way to win in other situations. Five wide? Five out of your first six plays passes? What are we doing? It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. It's Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Phone lines are open. A couple of them left. I'm on fire right now. Why? Because I'm hot. Let's go back out to the lines, though. Lorenzo on the road, getting it in early. What do you got to say about Coach Fluce?
Man, you know, if I was a GM, man, I would fire him last week. I would never let him fight back with a team last week. Unbelievable.
Well, Lorenzo, here's the question that I have, though. Here's the question that I have, and I've been asking this to people that say they want Coach Fluce fired. Who takes over the team? Like, if you didn't
get Ron Rivera.
No, but you can't bring in Ron Rivera in the middle. I'm talking about in real life. You can't bring Ron Rivera in the middle of a season to take over the team.
At least he's a Bear, man. He will make this guy play hard. This guy is no good. I mean, last week, I think he lost that game. He should call timeout and get all the players on the sideline and tell them what he wants to do. He can't ever lose that game last week.
Yeah, I agree. There's moments like that where you can't. You can't have flubs like that. And then you would think, Lorenzo, that this week he'd come back and be hyper-focused and everything would be ready to go. And that wasn't the case.
He's got to get this quarterback killed, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm telling you. This kid's got to get hurt if you're not getting nothing.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. It's tough to watch. You feel bad for Caleb seeing him run around. But again, there was a series of plays in the third quarter where Bears go five wide. Well, second down, Bears go five wide, and I'm thinking, man. And they had just ran DeAndre Swift for, I believe it was a four-yard gain. So second and six, they go five wide. And I'm thinking, why don't you just run the ball again? They go five wide, incomplete pass. Then the next play, DeAndre Swift, they go four wide. DeAndre Swift gets motioned out of the backfield. And I'm like, bro. And Caleb Williams is running for his life. And I'm thinking to myself, I understand what you're thinking in your mind. You think this is a video game, and you're saying, Caleb Williams is so good. I have three great wide receivers. If the offensive line could just block for a second, Caleb Williams is going to make this throw and everything. But that's not the case.
Does Shane Waldron think this is USC or Oklahoma?
That's what I'm saying. He's running the air raid offense. But I do want to say this to those texting, because a lot of texts are coming in, too, about Eberflus, you know, getting fired and stuff. It's again, this is therapist Gabe talking. Let's not talk about the problems. Let's talk about the solutions. I understand you think that Coach Fluce should be fired. But what's the solution? You cannot say Ron Rivera. You cannot say somebody else said, and you're not the only one, Lorenzo. I'm not trying to point you out. There have been other calls all night long or all morning long that have been coming in and saying, fire Fluce. Well, who are you going to bring in? Oh, we'll bring in this coach. No, you're not going to bring in a coach in the middle of the season to come somehow miraculously take over the team. He knows nothing. He knows nothing about the schemes, about the plays, nothing. Zero. You can't bring in a head coach like that. You're talking about a consultant. You're not talking about a coach. So again, if you are to get rid of Fluce, who is taking over? I think the biggest issue with that statement or that question, right, is the hierarchy of the Chicago Bears. You talk about why didn't you want to bring in a Harbaugh? Why didn't you want to bring in somebody else like a Belichick? And then you say you bring in a Fluce or you bring in a Shane Waldron because those guys are a bit passive, right? Ryan Poles can dictate whatever he wants to Coach Flus. And Coach Flus doesn't seem like a guy that's going to push back a ton on that because he understands what that dynamic looks like. You hire Shane Waldron because he is not going to push back on Coach Flus. You see what I'm saying here? So if you get rid of Flus, who's this guy that's going to come in and somehow, is Eric Washington, that the guy? Like, who's going to come in and have these men playing at a high level and have the respect that they should get if they take over as a head coach? That's the person you should be thinking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because if Flus moves over, you're sure as hell not going to put Shane Waldron in that position. Exactly. You're shaking your head right now in your car. So then who are you giving it up to? Richard Hightower? Like, who are you allowing to be the head coach of the Bears in the event that Flus loses four more games in a row and you want him fired in the middle of the season? Well, at that point, it's going to be far gone. It's going to be too far gone, and it wouldn't matter who's coaching. But you're asking for a head coaching change for there to be an upgrade, for there to be a difference in philosophy. Again, you got to be thinking about that if you want that answer, if you want that to be the answer in the middle of the season. All right, I just don't want you saying, like, go get Bill Belichick.
It doesn't have to be, like, obviously right now, because I doubt the Bears will fire. They won't fire Eberflus in season. But what do you think the percentage is that Ryan Poles right now is thinking, is Matt Eberflus the right head coach to lead them to the promised land where we all hope they get to?
Okay. Everyone thinks Ryan Poles has done a good job of constructing this roster.
I agree.
If you feel that way. Or I should say that. If you feel like Ryan Poles has done a great job of constructing this roster up till this point, again, I still have to give him one more offseason to adjust the offensive line because you can't fix everything at once. So he's taking steps, and no one thought the Bears were going to be some Super Bowl contending team this year, right? It's got to be next year. That's the year we're talking about. So again, going back to the question, if you think that Ryan Poles has done a good job of constructing this roster, then you also have to believe Eberflus has been on the hot seat in his mind since last year. Because the two things can't be true. You can't think he's smart enough to construct this roster the way that he has and then is oblivious to the inefficiencies and deficiencies that his current head coach has. Right? If you're smart over here, you can't think he's dumb over here. Right? However, if you think that he's done a terrible job, if you think that he hasn't put together the roster well, he's failed in certain situations, then yes. Then yes, the answer, he's not thought about firing Flus because he's stubborn with the Velus Jones, even though he just cut him. Stubborn with the Velus Jones to give guys more opportunities, to let Flus continue to be that guy because, remember, Ryan Poles hired him. Regardless of what you say about he was given a list of people, Ryan Poles still picked that guy. So again, I think it depends. I do think he's constructed a good roster. I personally think Flus has been on the hot seat since last year, but I think the proper business decision for the Chicago Bears last year in the offseason was to keep Coach Flus. The proper business decision. If the Bears suck, fine. I'm going to move on from head coach. I'm going to go get a new head coach anyway. But if he's good, I'm going to give this guy the opportunity because he has had guys playing well. If in this moment, in 2024, he exceeds expectations, then I made the right decision and I look like a genius. Right? But if he fails, then it's okay. I have a good roster in place. I have a draft ahead of me with free agency. I still have money. I'm going to address my offensive line. I'm going to continue to make this team better. And I'm going to have a head coach that I can bring in that can finally make this thing operate the way that it should. 312-644-6767. That's the phone lines. What did you have to say about what I said? Maybe a couple of the calls that came in as well. Or do you have an answer as to who should replace Coach Eberflus in the event that he gets fired midseason? I want to hear about all of that because Therapist Gabe is here for you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. 312-644-6767. Your call's next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 a.m. right here on 670 The Score. Pleasure to be with you. Again, it is Therapist Gabe today taking care of you. Bears lose to the Arizona Cardinals 29-9. If I were to tell you the stat line, you'd be shocked. If I said, hey, you know, Oh, you didn't watch the Bears game yesterday? Kyler Murray, only 13 completions. Say, oh, man, Bears must have killed him. So, yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr., they held him for 34 yards. You'd say, oh, Bears. Of course they did. Bears defense dominated. So, yeah, but they put up 29 points. Huh? Kyler Murray didn't throw a touchdown. They put up 29 points? How? Better coaching. That's how. They understood that running the football was going to get them the victory, and so they leaned on it. 18 rushes for James Conner, 4 for Amari DiMarcado, the 53-yarder that was the heartbreaker at the end of the first half, Trey Benson, 8 rushes for 37 yards, and Trey McBride for the touchdown on the tight end end around. It was just tough to watch. But, you know, some would say that the loss wasn't the most frustrating part about the game. There was more to it. What was that for you? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Chris out in Hanover. What was the most ridiculous part of the game for you, Chris?
Hey, Gabe, I was driving all day yesterday, and I was listening on the radio, and all I could kept hearing was throughout the game, fundamental mistakes, blocking, chop block, seriously, chop block. How many times have these guys been told, and they've done this their whole lives, chop blocks, missed blocks. You
the leverage
Caleb
penalty.
Having to scramble.
The leverage penalty was frustrating because they had one a couple weeks ago.
Basically, you can say it's inexcusable at this level. Come on, man. There was something I heard. I listened to the other guys on the other channels. I switch and I listen all around, and I keep hearing is it Obradovich or on the other show?
I'm not sure, but what did they say? What did you hear?
How he goes, this stuff is basic. Basic football, making mistakes repeatedly, week after week. They keep saying, oh, we keep blaming the coach. Okay, let's take the coach scenario out of it. When you have fundamental mistakes repeatedly, over and over and over, it's stupid.
But there's only one person to blame when that's the case, right? When basic things can't be completed at a normal rate, who's to blame in those instances?
Well, you have to say, hey, boys, are we in peewee ball? Are we in high school ball? If you think you're still in high school ball, sit down, because guess what? Pull up the kid sitting behind you. You know what happens if Caleb goes down? Who comes in? Or who comes in third string? The same guy that took over for Fields and gave us a big smile on our face, didn't he?
Tyson Bagent, your guy.
Tyson Bagent, you're damn right. And I'm glad he didn't go anywhere. I'm glad. You know what? He could walk into the game next week, even though everybody would be shocked, but not do anything. I want Caleb there. They build up Caleb to be so great, which he is. He's a great dude. And he's going to be great for Chicago for 5 years if Chicago production doesn't kill him.
Yeah, they got to get things done, and that in itself is an issue. I mean, you don't want to lose Caleb Williams' mind from the very beginning. You saw how frustrated he was after the Hail Mary loss. You saw moments of frustration during the game yesterday. It's tough. 22 for 41 on the day. I'm sure he didn't expect to throw the ball 41 times. 217 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Sacked 6 times for 45 yards. He was running. You know how they track the quarterback, you know, when they're scrambling like they used to do Justin Fields last year, and see how many yards they ran before? They should do that for Caleb Williams, because that boy is out there running. But I heard you, Chris. The most frustrating part for you was the inability to do the simple things for the Chicago Bears. What was it for you? 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Jim in downtown. Jim, talk to me.
Hi, Gabe. My favorite season was 85. I've been watching the Bears since the 60s, since I played football and watched football since the 60s. But that was my favorite season with Jim McMahon. And Jimmy called his own plays a lot of the times. Ditka used to get mad at him. And he made about a tenth of what these guys make. And these overrated quarterbacks that we've been watching come through. I mean, this guy made $2 million in college. I mean, McMahon didn't make $2 million in 5 years with the Bears. And he was.
But Jim, are you saying that Caleb Williams is the problem?
Oh, absolutely. He was getting $2 million a year in Southern Cal. See, he's made millions already. He got $25 million bucks as a rookie. Is he worth $25 million? Gabe?
I'm hearing you. I'm scratching my eye because that's a true indicator with nonverbals with shame because I can't.
I mean, do you think he's worth $25 million?
They're not.
He's showing that he looks like a bum to me out there.
Well, I mean, if I was throwing, wait a minute.
I played a lot of football. I've never seen so many misses in my life. I mean, he can't throw it long. He can't throw it short. I don't know what they saw in this guy, but he's not the answer. That's for sure. They're a long way off from any kind of Super Bowl competition. This is 40 years, Gabe.
Yeah, it's a long ways away, Jim. I appreciate the call, and you do bring up great points. I mean, Caleb Williams does. The assumption would be that there would be more consistency from Caleb Williams at this point. Now, the level of consistency and where that would be at, that debatable, but he himself being more consistent, I think, is something that we all expected. And sure, you could say, hey, you know, we would love for you, but hey, no fumbles. No interceptions, right? I mean, you can't help that certain. I mean, the throw of Keenan Allen in the end zone on third down that they couldn't convert on the touchdown. If you look at the replays, Clay Harbor did a good job of putting the clip out there on social media. DJ Moore is wide open for the touchdown, and he missed him on that one. So go back and see that play on the third down, which then led to a field goal from the Chicago Bears. I don't know if there's a lot of things to be frustrated about, right? And I've been asking the question, you know, the loss doesn't seem to be the most frustrating for a lot of people. But if I were to go down the list, Caleb Williams wouldn't be at the top or in the top two or three things that I'd be frustrated about. But I get it. I see what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Jim. I just continue to take some phone calls here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys till 5 o'clock. A lot of things going on. Let's go to Ron. Who's on the road, Ron? When I just talked about things that are frustrating outside of the loss. What is one of those things for you? Is it Caleb Williams?
Well, no, not at all. I mean, he in two games he has been sacked 12 times.
Oh my God!
Come on now, like you know, the offensive line with all of the injuries, that's frustrating. But it's the coaching and the play calling for me. You know, they're going to end up losing the locker room. And with them guys with that loss against Washington, that game and that last play with the Hail Mary, I know we don't want to talk about that, but that was like a snowball effect. One thing after the other, after all of the captains spoke out about it, I listened to the score all week while I'm out here on the road. I love it on my Odyssey app. To be able to listen to what's going on with the home team. And I done been in a couple of places where the guys was playing and couldn't watch the game, which was a problem for me because I'm out here on the road. But, you know, to those losses like that in games that should have been won, it was all coaching, man. I mean, seriously. I mean, the play calls were – To be a fly on the wall in that locker room and to see the morale on or the look on some of them guys' faces after the game, things happening on the sideline, it's going to start to trickle outside on the field, on the sideline when these guys start acting out on these coaches for these plays that they calling and the positions they putting them in and not allowing them the opportunity to win. Like, for real, when you said Cole Kmet, the tight end not a play being called for him, it's probably because he opened up the door for questioning the coaching and the practicing. Shane Waldron just was like, okay, I'm going to X him out the game, even if it cost us a win. You see what I'm saying? Because for him to have 10 catches in the game against Washington – and then not have a ball thrown to him the next week. Come on.
All right.
You question the integrity of the coaching. You know what I mean? And then for Eberflus to use accountability 1,000 times last week and not be accountable or not hold himself accountable, then to come and just completely take responsibility for everything this week. it's the coaching.
Yeah,
so they're going to lose the locker room.
Yeah, and they're going to lose it quick. And that's the sad part about it. You see it happening already. But you mentioned being a fly on the wall in the postgame. I want to be a fly on the wall in the group chat. Like, there's definitely a separate group chat that some players are involved. Maybe it's the leadership council. Who knows? But they're speaking freely about this. It's not a good position to be in. And I think the reason why it becomes frustrating and the reason why you can lose the locker room quickly with this Chicago Bears team is because the Bears themselves think they're good. They think that they should be winning these games. And when they can't understand why they're losing, there's only one thing that is a common denominator amongst the entire team. You're no longer talking about offense or defense or special teams. You're talking about a coach. That's the common denominator in most cases. So players look to that. Say, man, look, I know I'm good. And they look to each other. I know my defense is good. Top five in the league. I know Caleb's capable. I know Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze looking at himself like, I'm a goon and I'm just here trying to help out and we can't figure this out. And then again, they look at each other and they say, well, it's not Jalen Johnson. And they're like, well, it's not DeAndre Swift, right? It's not Caleb. It's not Montez Sweat. So wait, who are we looking? Whose finger? Where are we pointing this finger? That's how you lose the locker room that quickly. And then, as you mentioned, to go from taking minimal accountability to taking all accountability this game, right? It's on me. I made that call. I should have done this. This should have been better. This should have been. We're all human beings. We're all adults. We know when it's when you're laying it on too thick. That's how the saying goes, right? You're laying it on too thick, Floose. We get it. You didn't take accountability last week. You're trying to make up for it. But, man, you're laying it on thick. But again, there are things to be frustrated about. We are not the only ones. And the final score of the game, not the only thing that we're frustrated about. There are other things that people are more frustrated about. What is that for you? 312-644-6767. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5. Dustin Rhodes got you on the pregame after that, leading you right into Mullion Hall. Bernstein and Holmes. Then, of course, Spiegel and Holmes. Oh, excuse me. Bernstein and Harrison, my guy, Marshall Harris, that we do our podcast together, which sounds silly that I don't know his name properly. But then after that, of course, Spiegel is going to be hanging out with Lawrence Holmes. They got a great show, great guests. Jalen Johnson is going to be the guy I'll be looking for, 5 o'clock. And DJ Moore, 8 a.m. with Mullion Hall. Got to make sure you're locked in for that as well. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines, take some more calls. Let's go to Nick out in Wisconsin. All right, what do you think the Bears need to do, Nick?
Well, I quite honestly, so I, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan living in Wisconsin, man. I'm 37 years old. That's been the case my entire life, and so you know, I'm just an outsider looking in, man. And I listen to 670 a ton, you know. So I see it from the outside looking in, man. And you know, the one thing I mentioned when I called is. The Bears have never seemed to have a full clean sweep of we're going to hire a new GM and a new head coach and get a new quarterback all in the same year. You know, I think that's something that needs to happen, man. It you know, I think Foles has done a fine job, right? But you know, it's like, you know, you have a new GM, you have him for a couple of years, you have a new head coach for a year or two, but it, like, I don't feel like anyone is ever in sync.
All right, Nick, let me ask you this, because you're talking about the GMs, yes, the sir. Coaches and everything like that, you're talking about the Bears need a clean sweep. So take a couple steps back from your outsider perspective, the Cowboy fan living in Wisconsin that listens to the score to find out what's happening with the Bears. Tell me where the first mistake happens. What's that first domino that started falling? Clearly, you think everything needs to go, but where was that first problem?
No, not necessarily.
You said
not
clean sweep,
man.
You said clean sweep.
Well, it needs to happen at some point. I'm again. I think Foles has done a great job. I'll go back to even when the Bears. You know, obviously the trade up to Trubisky was. You know, kind of.
Yeah, but that was, long before right now, right? And I think that a lot of people would just point to last year in the middle of the season when things started to go haywire, that that should have been the moment that the Bears should have, to use your words, had a clean sweep of everything that was going on there, right? You saw, if, I'm not sure if you saw, Lou Getz, he just got fired by the Oakland Raiders. I don't even know. I think back to that move and I'm just like, what? Didn't they watch the Bears the last couple of years? Like, why would they hire that guy? But that's neither here nor there. Hopefully Antonio Pierce can figure something out over there. But you try to think back to, if you feel like the Bears are you know, destined for, you know, the clean sweep, where is that error first take place? Is it allowing Eberflus to stay last year? Is it allowing him to come back this year? Is that the first domino? Is it the hiring of Shane Waldron? Is it the initial hiring of Flus from the very beginning? I mean, those are things you can point to. But again, they get highlighted in moments like this. 4-4 after the schedule that you just had seems underwhelming. Seems underwhelming. Even though you were a seven-win team last year, to get to 4-8, you're like, okay, well, that's an, you know, no, not based off the competition you faced. You still should be a team like the Arizona Cardinals, but I know you're dealing with a lot of injuries. It's tough. It's tough. It's hard. But again, that's why the most frustrating part about this game is not the final score. It's everything else. It's that with your backups on defense, you looked horrible without Montez Sweat. We knew you couldn't stop the run, and then without Montez Sweat, he looked even worse. Booker looking bad on the run. Looking terrible. Ugh. Frustration continues. Let me take one more. Let's go to Lance out in Crest Hill. Lance, a lot of frustrating things outside of the final score in this one.
Booker looking bad on the run.
Lance, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, I know. I want you to not listen to me on your radio, but just listen to me on your phone. So what do you think about this?
Okay, hold on a second. Let me just turn the radio off.
All right, hold on one second. Hey, lower this guy down. Lower him down real quick. Lower him real quick. All right, we're gonna take some more calls. That's what I do want to do with this. So, Lance, we're gonna have you turn off your radio. I understand you want to be listening, but we don't want the feedback to get in the way. That's why we don't want that happening here. But again, I want you to be thinking about what you're most frustrated about that is not the final score in this one, right? This thing got away early. I point to the lack of the inability to put a touchdown on the board after the fumble. You have the Cardinals go 3-and-out. You get the ball to start the game. Can't do anything there. Punt the ball away. They get a first down. Then they go 3-and-out again. You get the ball back and you say, okay, this is the moment to put some points on the board. You can't. But that's where you needed to win the game, right then and there. After the second possession from the Cardinals, second possession of the Bears should have ended up in some sort of points. At least you would think, with everything that happened last week, with the inability to start fast or put points on the board, the inability to form some sort of drive on your first possession or two, you punt again and you start feeling down about yourself. It's where the momentum shifts. Why? Because then the Arizona Cardinals come down and score a touchdown. Then after that, you respond well. You get a field goal. You can't put it in the end zone. You get a field goal. 7-3. From a fan's perspective, you're still feeling good. Then you cause the fumble and you say, ah, there it goes. That's the Bears team that I know. They put points on the board. They created the turnover. All right, let's continue on that path and get the tutty. You fall short. You get another field goal. It's 7-6. You're saying to yourself, okay, it's not what we wanted, but you know what? The defense is going to hold strong. They just got the fumble. 12-play, 70-yard touchdown again. After the fumbles, they go touchdown, fumble, touchdown. How do the Bears respond? Another field goal. No touchdown. But close, within reach. Bears are going to get the ball back in the second half. Then with 22 seconds left, you allow the unthinkable. Well, it was the unthinkable until the end of the game last week where it became thinkable and became a part of your lexicon now. You allow touchdowns in the last couple seconds of a half. And the Bears did that, and that's when things unraveled completely. Completely after that moment. Kyler Murray called it demoralizing for the Chicago Bears, and it was. What he said specifically, Kyler Murray said, it's like getting the ball back at the beginning of the second half and putting a touchdown up on the board. Essentially, that's what they did. Got the ball back instead of the Bears. But 21-7 after that, it was a wrap. Bears get the ball back in the third quarter. Two possessions in the third quarter. That's it. The Bears 3-and-out. And then the Arizona Cardinals 13-play, 69-yard drive for the tutty. That's it. That's your third quarter, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of frustrating moments, but I want to hear what was frustrating for you. Got a lot of people on hold. Want to be able to get back out to you. Lance, want to get your phone call as well. 312-644-6767. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. We got you taken care of all day long right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.